So I guess, well, first of all, thanks for coming. And generally speaking, how people, how I'd like to talk about the work is, most people are very curious about how it's made, so I'd like to start off with that. I use a traditional gesso ground over wood panel, over linen. So they're very hard. So you could, you know, they don't have a bounce to them. And the reason that I choose to do that is because I do a lot of sanding. I do a lot of scraping of the surface. One of the really, for me, interesting parts of when I'm painting is to make a painting and then take it away. So I use a lot of reductive methods. And if I were to take one off the wall, which I won't, but you could see that it's a backed panel, stretched, canvas is stretched over it, which for me happens to work. Also because of the intimacy of them, they're really easy to ship. I usually don't have any issues with them. I'm trying to work within my means. One of the things that I'm also thinking about is this idea, because they are small in scale, this idea of a very small, intimate painting becoming something very large. Some of the things I'm interested in, I'm not going to tell you what the paintings are about, but I will tell you what my concerns are, okay? Is that I'm very concerned with the dualities that exist in nature, and I'm interested in an alternative universe, the shifting of space. It's not an old idea. It's not a new idea. This is something that, say, Giotto was interested in, whether he knew it or not, right? The shifting of space, that very flat two-dimensional space, highly stylized, right? They're highly stylized. I'm also really interested in Japanese woodcuts as well as Indian miniatures because of how the space is shifted. So I didn't realize that until probably maybe the last 4 or 5 years that that's something that's been happening in my work. You don't always know as a painter what it is that you're doing at that time, how that actually resonates and gets imbued in your work. And so that's something that just recently I've been able to sort of figure out, and that's been really helping me make very specific decisions on how I want the work and the direction that I want the work to go in. What I would like to do is, if you have questions about the work, that's actually where we can create a little bit of a dialogue. So if you've been looking at the work and you have something you want to ask me, I'd be happy to answer any questions about it. Are there any questions?
I think it's interesting that you say that you are interested in Japanese woodblocks and Indian miniatures. But you didn't really realize that?
Yes.
Did your work change when you actually kind of put your finger on that as being an interest of yours?
No, I think I was able to channel it a little bit differently. I think that probably because I think we're influenced by a lot of different things that I, early on as a young painter, I probably didn't appreciate those as much and didn't realize how they were affecting what I was doing. And it's only now that after painting for over 30 years that I've realized, oh, that's what's happening in the work. I think that it gets imbued in what I've been doing. And to answer your question, I think that now I understand it more. I don't understand it fully, but I definitely understand it more, and it becomes something that I'm able to be much more confident about. My paintings are very formal, so they have a subversive aspect to them that I find this idea of basically the dualities that exist in the man-made world and the natural world, but how I put them together is very much about looking at formal elements. And having influences like that, I kind of look to that and appreciate that more. And so I identify with it now.
Is there a typical amount of time that you spend on each painting? Because they do seem very layered and worked over and considered. And you were also describing about how you do sanding and work away at the surface.
That's a really good question. Okay, so how I work in my studio, I work on many pieces all at the same time. So when I'm working, I tend to not work on one thing. I will work almost like an assembly line. I'll get everything ready. And then I probably, in my studio now, before I left, I counted 68 paintings. So I'm constantly working. And this allows me to make mistakes. I'm constantly saying, oh, let's leave that. Let's give it like a little bit of time. We'll leave that alone for a while. And then I'm able to surrender it and come back to it. And it allows me a lot of, oddly, a lot of continuity because I'm working on a lot of things all at the same time. And all of a sudden they come together. So when I was getting this show together, if you look at some of the color combinations, especially the palette, with maybe the exception of that one because it's from a different series, and maybe this one because it was the beginning of the series. But if you look at all the other paintings, they all have a similar feel to them. And so I'm constantly looking at that narrative from a formal point of view. So with that said, I'm letting something dry. I don't have a lot of patience. So if I allow it, I mean, I have a lot of patience in other aspects of my life, but not this. And so if I let that rest for a little while, I can come back to it and rework it or sand it down, right? If it's dried, then I don't need it anymore. I don't see them. They're oddly very precious visually, right? They're sort of gem-like. But in my studio, it's just not that way at all. I'm very rough with them. I travel with them in a way that's very... I'm aggressive with them. I'm constantly taking away material and adding material. I'm not particularly committed to them until the very, very end. I allow for lots of possibilities. So that's a good question because that's exactly how I work. There really are. There's so many paintings going on right now. And there's some that I'll come back to maybe in 3 or 4 years. Like, I won't touch them. I'm not ready. But I like having that kind of energy in the studio. It's really effective for the way that I work.
How are you approaching the works on paper? You spoke about how you remove things from the panel pieces. But do you sand down the paper?
No, totally different animal. So the works on paper, oddly, are much more permanent, right? Because I can't take away in the same way. However, the thing that I find in the works on paper that works well for me is bringing light from the paper itself. The kind of surface that I'm using here is very absorbent, the ground that I have. So it actually absorbs color. It's a traditional way of working with your ground. It's like a hide glue and a rabbit skin glue mixed with whiting. So it tends to absorb color in a different way than, say, a traditional acrylic or a non-traditional acrylic gesso that we're familiar with, which if you want, I can talk to you about it more after if you're interested. But the painting, the drawings, I'm using the paper to create light. Because light in nature is a huge part of how you create like a mood or an environment. So the layers, it's a very specific way of working where you're layering things, layering a little here, going over there, layering something else, and all of a sudden you're working general to specific. It's not something I invented. It's like a way of working, like even in academia. So you work general to specific. And by working in the layers, at the very end, I'll pull out the specifics. And in this case, the specifics will be the rock formations or the geometrics or something that I'm pulling from my well of personal symbolism, right? Like, this needs a little something here. I might put that there. What do I want to say, right? Constantly as an artist asking yourself, what do you want to say? What is this about? So the works on paper are... I'm using the light of the paper to come through. Here I'm using the gesso, but it's a little different because I can reduce it. I can take it off if I don't want to. Here I can't. So this is oddly a little slower and more difficult for me, the works on paper, because I can't. I don't have that. So they become, for me, they become very fast. I mean, they're difficult, but they're fast because I can't think about them in the same way. I can't let them rest the same way that these can. Any other questions? Because we're on the clock. Okay, we're on the clock, so ask your questions.
I guess I was curious about this. I'm starting a new series, a new group of paintings. What triggers the hell?
Good question, because I often, the first time I was, when I started painting this way, I asked myself, well, what's something that I haven't done in a long time? Or what's something that's really challenging to me? I'm going to make a pink painting, okay? Ugh, right? Like, ugh, oh, that's going to be tough. And when I start a new series and I'm working on several paintings at one time, there might be this blue theme, right? I deal a lot with water, this theme of water. Then all of a sudden, I'll say, well, I need a different surface, so I'm going to make something this color or that color. Whether or not it ends up that way, I don't know, but that's how I kind of start it. And I also have managed to become very good friends with chromatic grays. You know, I feel like chromatic grays have this wonderful ability to have everything else shine around it. And you can use then the neons and the brighter colors, the more saturated colors, as a way to kind of like create, like formally a way for your eye to kind of like have a little page saver, right? But that's how I sort of use color. Or if I'm just like really have never used this amazing color, let's see what this looks like. And I might think it's horrible, or I might try it. There's a lot of failure, which I see as a way of, it's like progress, right? So to like make a lot of mistakes, then you know what you don't want. So I do a lot of that.